Hosanna in the highest heaven. Amen. What do you expect? That is an important question because so much of life is influenced by your expectations. Do you get angry when you have to wait 15 minutes for your food? Depends on your expectations. If you're sitting at a table in the annex at Foxtown, you will love service that fast. But if you're standing in line at Jimmy John's, you'll think twice about going there again. We complain about 20 degrees in March because we expect 40. But we celebrate 20 degrees in January because we expect 10. Expectation makes all the difference. So, what do you expect from Jesus? When you look to Jesus, what do you expect him to do in your life? Some people expect very little from him because, you know, Jesus was a teacher, a good example, a decent human being. Others expect everything from him because, you know, Jesus is God, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. He will protect me from sickness, stop my suffering, squash my problems, and make life a million times better. And others don't have a clue what to expect from him. Your expectation of Jesus is important. Whether you worship Jesus or complain about him depends on that expectation. How you handle sin, death, guilt, shame, pain, suffering, and loss is based on that expectation. And Palm Sunday, Jesus teaches us what to expect from him. And he does that, first of all, by telling his disciples what to expect. You see, as Jesus approaches Jerusalem, he gives two of his disciples some very specific expectations. Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. Jesus sends them on a mission in a town they are not from to get a donkey that is not theirs and tell the owner that it's for a guy he's probably never met. And this is not some vague fortune cookie-esque prediction. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing, untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. Do you see? Jesus is confirming what he spent 3 years teaching and hundreds of miracles revealing. He is not just a rabbi. Jesus must be something more. And the people recognize it. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest! They expect great things from Jesus. The words they shout draw on thousands of years of prophecy and promise, acknowledging that Jesus is not just a man or even a king, but the man, the king, the Messiah. God's people had been waiting for millennia for the Christ to arrive, and now here he is. So what do they expect them to do? Stick around for the rest of Holy Week, and it's clear that their expectations are wrong. They expect Messiah to wear a crown of gold, but Jesus wears a crown of thorns. They expect Messiah to gather an army, but Jesus' followers abandon him. They expect Messiah to give relief from the Romans, but Jesus gets handed over to the Romans. Turns out, Jesus does not meet their expectations. Does he meet yours? Or are your expectations wrong too? Right? Sometimes you want Jesus to be all king and no cross, a king who brings you good things, success and happiness and wealth. You want a Jesus who looks at all of the evil in the world and all of the problems in your life and nukes them from orbit. What you don't always want is a king who gives himself up to that evil. A Jesus who works his very best in what appears to be the very worst. And so those failed expectations can lead to the opposite problem. You expect Jesus to be all cross and no king. You can't let go of your guilt because Jesus is only a teacher and not a savior. You have no hope in your misery because a dead rabbi can't control the outcome of your life. You worry about tomorrow because Jesus is not a God of the future, just a relic of the past. But if Jesus is only a fortune cookie that you crack open for advice, you expect too little from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You need to make your expectations of Jesus match Jesus's expectations of Jesus. Because he leaves no room for doubt about what to expect from him. He reveals it in one specific detail, one part of his Palm Sunday plan. The donkey. Jesus chooses to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Why? Donkeys are not the fastest of animals or the noblest of creatures. But in ancient times, a king rode a donkey to send a very specific message to the people. Peace has arrived. Because he had defeated all his enemies and put down every threat, the king could ride into town on this stubborn, slow-footed animal and not worry about a thing. But here's the crazy part about Palm Sunday. When King Jesus rides his donkey, he has not yet defeated his enemies or put down every threat. In point of fact, opposition to Jesus is at an all-time high. He knows that people in Jerusalem are planning to kill him. What gives? Jesus is showing that he's not going to put up a fight. He's so gentle that a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Jesus is clearly saying that he is a king, but he is a king who is going to die. He demands a crown, but he will earn it on a cross. That is what to expect from Jesus. It's even buried in the words the crowd shouts, words they don't fully understand. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Hosanna is a Hebrew word that means please save. Yes, Lord, please save. But what do you expect him to save us from? Because our greatest problem, the greatest danger that we face is not war or inflation or terrorism or cancer or crime. No, the greatest problem that we face is sin. The sin that you were born in. The sin that every single day you choose for yourself, the sin that is your declaration of war against the God whom even the highest heavens cannot contain. That's a fight you don't want to pick. But we always do. These words mean that our greatest need is for someone to bring that war to an end by bringing peace in the highest heaven. You and I cannot do a thing to contribute to that cause. God himself must do everything. And he does. He does it in a way that no one would ever expect. I mean, who expects the king to come down from the highest heaven, to ride lowly into his own city, to his own death? Who would expect that? God becomes a man? The Almighty lays aside his power, the king becomes a servant? Who would do that? Only the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who does not stop Judas from betraying him, disciples from abandoning him, Sanhedrin from condemning him, crowds from turning on him, Pilate from executing him, and Satan from goading them all on. He refuses. He endures the cross, scorning its shame. And in that moment marked by unnatural darkness, a torn curtain, an earthquake, a stunned centurion, that moment we expect to be failure. Our expectation is dead wrong. It is not failure. It is victory. And if you don't understand that, not only will you be disappointed with Jesus, you will inevitably be disappointed with yourself. You see, like the second reading reminds us, the Christian life is a race. And this race isn't a sprint or a half mile or even the dreaded 2 mile. No, it is a marathon. It is your entire life. Your path is full of everything that hinders and sin that easily entangles. And if on your run you do not expect God to bring victory out of what looks like failure, you'll probably forfeit the race. Because you will be hindered. You will be entangled by sin. Expect your race to look like a failure. But don't forfeit. Instead, fix your eyes on Jesus. Because here is good news for every Lutheran confirmand. Whether you're wearing that gown for the first time today or you're somebody who took that gown off decades ago. The word confirmation means strengthening. And Jesus confirms you. He strengthens you with his word and sacraments. Not just today, but every day of your run. He wants to make you strong because you have no clue what to expect in this race called life. Are you strong enough for the accident, the promotion, the birth, the death, the despair? Are you strong enough for the moments you didn't ask for or expect? In Christ, you are. The only way to cross the finish line is to fix your eyes on Jesus and expect him to work his very best in what appears to be the very worst. And know his promise that the best is yet to come. Yesterday, Jesus tells you to run with perseverance the race marked out for you, to expect suffering. Expect this broken world to be broken. Expect sinful people to be sinful. But one day, King Jesus will take you to be with him, and everything will be glorious. No more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. Every sorrow today reminds you that one of these tomorrows, Jesus is coming for you, and you can expect everything from him. And even then, your expectations will be far too small. Happy Lent. Amen.